With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Conversations with My Dog. I'm Mahani Jahangiri, and I'm the author, yoga instructor, and creator of Doga, yoga for you and your dog. And this podcast aims to bring dog lovers together to discuss the impact they have on our lives. Today's guest is Catherine Wooden. She is a pet columnist, writing the Star Paws column for the Daily Star, and an award-winning blogger for her Wild Paws blog, as well as a photographer, videographer, graduating with a 2-1 in film and television studies. She is on a mission to find the best in dog-friendly with the UK's first ever dog-friendly calendar that launched last year. Now, it is such an honor to welcome Catherine Woodings on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi,
Kathy. Can I just say something? This introduction was really difficult because as I'm speaking, Robbie's playing with his new Swiss toy. It's it's something, I don't even know what it is. It's a mashed up animal thingy, chewy, something from the butchers, and he's actually having a personal relationship with it and distracting me completely. Can you hear it? He's so loud in the so he's so happy with this piece of thing, whatever it is. I think you can eat it. I'm not 100% sure, but I bought it at the local butchers in Switzerland. So I want to say I'm in Switzerland, so that's my home country, my hometown. I just want to say hi from Switzerland, Kathy, and you're my first guest on Zurich soil.
I feel honored.
You know, it's really funny. I'm so glad, first of all, to have you on the show because I know you personally. We've met on several occasions. Mm-hmm. I know your brother, Andy, and I think it's quite important to tell the listeners how I came to you, how I met you. Or basically how I called you. So it started with your brother, Andy, who came to my yoga class in Swiss Cottage. I can say that, Cricklewood, it was years ago. And he came to my Ashtanga yoga class and he was 10 minutes late.
Oh, and that doesn't surprise me.
And he waltzed into this yoga studio with a bandana from the 80s. I think it was a yellow sort of headscarf around his forehead, strapped around like Karate Kid, something like that. And he walked in really in slow motion. I was in the middle of counting, and usually I tell everybody off, but he came with he sort of hovered. I don't know. He was so slow. And then he grabbed the yoga mat from the shelf and then he rolled it out really slowly. And in a way, he was almost in sync with the yoga class. And then he just began doing his own thing. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? I'm just going to leave this guy on his own because he kind of was right at the back. And I'm going to leave him because obviously he must be in his own world.
Yep, that sounds like it. <again. laughs>
And what was funny is he came up to my class afterwards going, he sweated like buckets. There were buckets of sweat. Just he sweat so much, but he did so little. And he came up to me and he said, "That was amazing. That was amazing. I'll be back." And I just thought, and then he came back and still he came 15 minutes late, did the same routine, did his own thing, didn't listen, did his own thing, sweated buckets, and thanked me at the end. And I thought, this guy is so unique. And then we started talking, and he said he was a filmmaker. And he said, oh, my sister is into filmmaking. And guess what? She has a pet business, or she's involved with dogs and photography or filmmaking. Now, at that time, we're talking about 5 years ago, four years ago?
Yeah, must be, yeah.
So where were you at that time, Catherine?
So it actually all started, yeah, I think we actually launched our business in 2015. So yeah, it was about 5 years ago that we started everything. So originally, to go back to the beginning, I did some work experience for the Daily Star on Big Brother.
Oh, wow.
This was back when I was at school, so a long while ago. And they liked me so much there that they asked me to do a summer job there. So that's kind of how I got into the contacts with the Daily Star. So I've always kind of had that contact with them. But in terms of the pet world, I joined it after the Big Brother team, the production team, changed hands. So I no longer worked for the Daily Star doing the Big Brother stuff. So my partner and I, we were like kind of deciding what we wanted to do. And while I'd been working at Big Brother, I'd been documenting Wilbur, who's our dog. He was about two or three then. And he's now eight.
Just like Robbie, yeah.
Yeah, getting on a bit. But still acts like a puppy. I don't know if Robbie does, but Wilbur does, certainly.
I don't know. Robbie's just being very difficult, like me now. Senior citizen, I say.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, anyway.
So I was kind of, I seen, what's his name? Karl Lagerfeld was, he had an Instagram for his cat. And I was like, oh, that's such a great idea. I'm going to do that. And I made one up for Wilbur. And I absolutely loved taking pictures of him. We used to take photos of him in Santa hats and things like that and put them on our Christmas cards and give them to family. And everyone loved them. And we even did it with our hamster and guinea pigs and rabbits and everything as well. And so when we came to looking at what we wanted to do from there after Big Brother, we thought about taking pictures of the dogs. And this was before our other dog, Paisley. So there wasn't really anyone in the market doing Christmas cards or birthday cards with party hats and Santa hats genuinely on the dog. It was always photoshopped on, and there was this kind of area that we wanted to explore. So we went to the Prince's Trust, which is a wonderful charity for young people looking into getting into business. And we pitched to the Prince's Trust, and they loved the idea, and we got the money for it. So we set up our little shop selling greeting cards online. We did some craft stalls as well, and dog markets, and they went down really well. We also sold some other pet products as well, which I think you'd seen. I think we gave you one of the jute bags, didn't we?
You did, exactly. Yeah. Can I just ask you about the Prince's Trust? I was always very keen. Do you have to be a certain age as an entrepreneur? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to be under a certain age. I think it's 30. Don't quote me on that, but it's young for young people getting into business, or not just necessarily setting up your own business, but other things like apprenticeships and things, I think.
And were you one of the first sort of pet businesses that the Prince's Trust supported?
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. I think pet businesses have kind of taken off in the last few years, really, really taken off. You see so many more products out there now for dogs and cats and small animals even. I don't think they had that many pet business, if any. I don't want to say I'm the first, because
but why not, because you 2015, that's quite a while back before it really boomed, the whole thing, you know. That's incredible. So you started out in 2015 with, like you said, you had a whole range of products, not just food, but just about everything, I remember.
yeah Yeah, we sold a lot of things, everything all high quality, natural. We wanted to make sure that we had those ethics. That's what we care about, natural, healthy products that, you know, nothing like rawhide or anything like that that's bad for dogs.
And how did you know about these kind of things? How did you have a feel for the business? Did you have a vision that this was going to boom?
No, not really. I just really enjoyed, we went on holiday with Wilbur, I think, I'm trying to remember what year it was. It must have been when it was about 2 or 3. We went on holiday to Oxford with him, and it was our first dog-friendly holiday. And I just absolutely loved it. I loved taking pictures of him, sharing our experience, writing about it. So it was just something I enjoyed doing. I did it to begin with just as a hobby, really. Nothing more than that. And then just decided to make it into a business when we were kind of down on our luck trying to decide what we wanted to do with our life.
And you had a big change, don't you? So you started with your pet business online, but then your talent for writing, blogging really bloomed, happened. Yeah. Was it a sudden thing in 2000 and are we talking about 2018,
19? I started the column last year, April 2019. So it's kind of a bit long-winded how it happened. But so what we did is we launched a dog-friendly calendar, which was an idea I'd been baking in the back of my head for a long while, because as I said, I love to go into dog-friendly places. So
I remember you talking about this with Nat.
Yeah, it was a dream of mine, and I absolutely loved doing it. It was just going around 12 different places in the UK, visiting a hotel, a restaurant and an attraction there. And then we'd do 1 month dog-friendly Cotswolds, 1 month dog-friendly Scotland, you know, things like that. And it was so much fun, and it led me onto the column. So, it was worthwhile doing, and we had some great feedback from it as well. Obviously, now it's not feasible for me with everything else I'm doing, but the actual what happened from there, one of the reasons we stopped doing it as well was back a few years ago, and this is actually snowballed into how the column happened, really, because back a couple of years ago we actually got burgled back up when we were up and living in Nottingham, and we decided we didn't want to live in that house anymore because we didn't feel safe. So we had a couple of options: find somewhere else to live there, move back down to Kent and live with my family for a bit, or live with my partner's family. And we decided that we'd been wanting to move back down to Kent, where I was born and raised, for a long while. And we decided now that was a perfect time to do it. So we lived with my mum and dad for a year and a half while we looked to find a house. And we couldn't really run the shop while we were there because obviously there wasn't much space for it with, we were all already invading their house with two dogs, two people, and we had two rabbits then as well. So
No way.
I think we had our goldfish then as well. Yeah. So yeah.
So did you just enter through the door with a pot of goldfish, two rabbits, two dogs, and a truckload of issues in your truckload of relationship problems in your backpack? No, I'm just saying. I mean, your parents must have gone, oh my God.
Oh yeah, my parents are not really pet people. I mean, they love the dogs to bits, but they're not pet people. So yeah, it wasn't the best of times for them. But I think I got moaned at quite a lot about dog fur everywhere, but what can you do? So yeah, so that's what happened. And in that meantime, we thought we'd save money and buy a house. So to do that, Nat had to get a full-time job, because before that point he'd been working on Wild Paws and the blog and everything with me full-time. So he looked for a job, and he's now working as brewery manager, which he absolutely loves. Yeah, so
lovely.
He's gets a beer allowance and everything, so he's happy.
Well, that's what I mean. Ooh, lovely.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing a pint of beer from front of me. Just amazing.
So he's doing really well on his own doing that, and I decided to focus on the blog and do more reviews and things like that. And in that, meanwhile, a new editor came to the Daily Star, and he started a couple of years ago now, back when we were living at my mum and dad's, and he is a massive animal lover. He has I think his dog's now 9 years old, a Labrador called Charlie. He's absolutely adorable. He took over the Daily Star a couple of months ago to do a campaign with the Blue Cross, actually, which was adorable. So he'd heard of my blog because of the contacts, and then I won an award for best pet friendly blog event. I've said it wrong there.
Yeah. Award for best dog friendly events blog. Correct?
Yeah, that was it.
I got it.
And he'd been meaning to bring in a pet columnist. They've got a beer columnist and all those kind of things, and he wanted a pet columnist, and when he saw that I got an award, he asked me to do it. And literally on that day that he said, yeah, I want you to do it, I had to write it and file it. So that was a bit of a rush and a mad panic, but then obviously the further and further it went along, the easier it was, and it's just taken off from there, really. We've been doing spreads and features and everything.
I've seen you speaking to Bill Bailey. Is that correct? What happened there? So you were having an interview there, because I see you saw the picture with you and your headphones on and speaking to Bill Bailey. How was that? That must be amazing. Yeah,
that was a real highlight of this year. That's my first proper, celebrity interview, seeing him on Strictly now and going, yeah, I've spoken to him. It's quite exciting. But so we teamed up with Blue Cross for a campaign. It was called the Star Paws campaign, and it was to raise funds for the Blue Cross charity, and we were looking for 12 Star Paws readers to feature their dogs for the calendar, and all the money raised by the calendar, all profits went to the Blue Cross. And Bill Bailey agreed to back it, so I did an interview with him about it, so that was great.
He's an incredible human being. He has 7 Bali dogs, and I met 2 of the Bali dogs when I was shooting.
Oh, did you? Oh yeah, you did
a piece with Bill Bailey. Yeah.
I remember that. Was it Walks with My Dog?
Yeah.
And
we were lying in the grass in Richmond Park, and I'm lying next to Bill Bailey. He's kind of out of breath because he's done the panting dog position. And the dogs were like, they had enough. Robbie went for a wee. And I'm lying with Bill Bailey, lying next to him. Nothing intimate here, by the way, just for the listeners. No. There was a moment where I said to Bill, I said, how can we stop all the pain and suffering with dogs? And it was about, oh, sorry, that's the next door dog, my neighbor. Robbie's just being protective. How, because I was doing this dog meat trade campaign, against China, but to end all the dog meat in Asia and all this. And he's got rescue dogs not from the dog meat, but from Bali, and they were close to slaughter, you know. I said, how do you stop it? And he sat there and he really was like thinking about everything. Like, and he said, it's education, education, education. And he said he's done a lot. And he says, and it, sometimes it's a lost cause, like all that suffering for animals. And he just, I mean, I don't want to sidetrack too much, but I just felt that was somebody who was really engaged and sincere about everything. Mm. There was no star quality. There was what he does think about things, and he does care about humans and animals, and it's just a very special, kind, very quiet person, actually. Very introverted. So I don't know if you had that experience when you were talking to him.
Yeah, he was so chilled out. It was genuinely just like talking to a friend. He was just so sweet and kind. I mean, he probably didn't realize it was my first celebrity interview, but he was just so nice. And my features editor, who I pitch all my spreads to and work through for the spreads, she said, "Oh, I'm so excited you're talking to him. He's such a lovely person. He's like one of the most chilled out people I've ever interviewed. So friendly." And she was just so excited for me because she's obviously interviewed a lot of people because she's been working at the Star for ages. But yeah, and she was right. He is.
and did Bill Bailey enjoy speaking to you as a columnist? You know, you interviewee. You know, was there any feedback on your work?
He didn't really say much about it, to be honest. But I think he enjoyed talking about dogs quite a lot. my partner Nat actually got me to ask the best question of all, which was, have you ever taken any of your pets on tour with you? And the answer was yes. He took his dog Rocky on tour with him, who then came out and upstaged him, which was brilliant.
It's incredible. Seven dogs. We're sidetracking. I know we're sidetracking, but it's just so nice to talk about someone so talented who really does care about these dogs. It's not a publicity stunt, and I just think it's just a great experience. But I was gonna say something interesting. So I've met you and I've met Nat, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about your relationship, if I may.
Of course you can.
I mean, you have such an interesting relationship, and I will get to the dogs as well, but first I have to start from the bottom upwards. You know, you and Nat, the way you work together, the way you work as a team, I've never seen a couple like it. I mean, was it difficult to not do the wild pause together? He went off to the brewery and suddenly you became independent, or did that help the relationship, or did it change? I mean, I just can't see you not doing things together. You are like one person.
Oh, he does still help me quite a lot. But yeah, it was difficult to begin with because a lot of things are a lot easier when he's around. We kind of separated on certain jobs. So I was better at the writing and taking the photos, and he was better at editing and all that kind of side of things. So not having him there to edit was really difficult because I have a terrible mind, and I have a mind like a sieve, and I just forget it. And then I'm having to message him at work going, how do you do this again? So yeah, that was quite difficult, but he still works behind the scenes. So he, for example, I'm doing a festive baking pullout for the Daily Star, which is coming out in a couple of weeks.
Oh, and doggy baking.
Yeah, so cool. It's called the 12 recipes of Christmas or something like that. So yeah, 12 fun recipes to bake for your dog for Christmas. And they want a front cover picture. And Nat was behind the scenes getting Paisley to wait while I was taking pictures of her. So
it's amazing. The pictures are amazing. You took pictures of us doing Dover. Yeah. I think Nat took pictures of us. We met in Primrose Hill. The day we met in Primrose Hill and tried to do a doga class in the midst of Primrose Hill with 1,000 dogs around us. And Nat was filming and taking pictures, and they were amazing. Yeah. He captured the moment so well. It was such a great video at the end. It was so well edited. It's
he's a brilliant editor. My brother still moans about him not doing editing anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine. And going back at, I don't even know where. I wanted to bring in your brother very quickly. So your brother is also working for the Daily Star, is that correct? Or is he doing...
No, he doesn't anymore. He did for... We didn't overlap. He stopped working he must have stopped working 2 years ago this Christmas. So yeah, he stopped in December 2018 and I started working in April 2019.
And how does he feel about you being your own Jesus Christ, pet columnist, you know, how does he feel about that?
Yeah, he still wants me to get back into film because that's what we originally talked about doing when I was younger. But you know, this is absolutely heaven for me. This is like, I know everyone says, oh, I love my job, but I really do love my job. Like, it doesn't feel like a job to me. It's just something I like doing, writing, bit going around trying out things with the dogs, you know. It's the best thing I could possibly do.
So you almost veered from what you were supposed to be doing. I mean, you studied film.
Yeah.
So this is your thing, and photography. So your brother, I just want to get a feel for your background, you know, your childhood, your brother. Who was the leading man in the family? Who started the whole television idea? I mean, both of you are creative.
Yeah. Do you really need to answer that?
I just want to know who. Okay, I'm going to say something horrible. Who's the more talented? No, I'm not going to say. Is there a sibling rivalry as well? No, it's success.
I don't really have sibling rivalry with him. I feel like we're two very different people. He's quite flamboyant and confident, and I'm quite shy and quiet. So we're quite different in a lot of respects. I mean, yeah, he's the older brother, so he was into film more, and I kind of we were very close growing up, so I kind of riffed off him and picked up a lot of interest from him. So he was always wanting to be an actor ever since he was a kid, and
he walked in with that bandana in my yoga class, Karate Kid. It was like a character. I think he wore the clothes that he thought he was supposed to wear for a yoga class. I think it was a character that walked into the class. Sorry to interrupt, but really, I said, where did he get the outfit from? Yeah, go on.
That's
sorry,
just his wardrobe.
Sorry.
So he always wanted to be an actor, and I always wanted to be a director. So he always wanted to be in front of the camera, and I always wanted to be behind it. So I think that says a lot about our different personalities. But as a kid, actually, I wanted to be a vet, and then I realised that involved animals dying, and realised there's no way I could deal with that. So then I moved on to wanting to be an archaeologist. And then I realised I'm not very good at history.
Don't know much about history.
Funny enough, that's what my dad says that song's about me. I'm not sure if I should take that as an insult.
No, you do know a lot. You know a lot about the pet world. You must know so much. I'm sure you have a few tales to tell about the pet world and the businesses. You must have encountered so many of them.
Yeah. I won't go into
too
details.
Many
but you know, there's a lot of, you can tell the businesses that care about animals and the ones that don't, and I always make an effort to showcase the ones that do. So
absolutely. I mean, there's so many questions I want to ask, and I want to get to the dogs, but I have a burning question. What do you think about dog influencers? Because I have my opinion, but I'll share it with you, Kev. What's your take on these big dog? Do you have to work with them? Do you have to negotiate a fee and things like, you know?
No, I haven't worked with any dog influencers. I don't have any problem with them. I feel like I know some who, they don't have, you know, millions of followers, but they have, you know, they're in the 30k or something. And some of them are great because they showcase products that you didn't know about. Some of them write blogs that are informative and helpful. And then you've got other ones who kind of just, ones that I really like, which is ridiculous, but have you seen those ASMR dog ones where they're just eating carrots or something in front of a microphone? I absolutely love those ones. And that thinks I'm mental. I just love the sound of dogs crunching on biscuits or stuff.
Oh, you mean those stimulating what is it? People squishing things and you listen.
Yeah.
But they're doing it now with the pets and just listening to crunching sounds. Well, a bit like my podcast, Robbie in the background crunching.
Yeah,
on
that's what I was thinking earlier when he was doing it. I was like, oh, I like that noise.
Wow, this is a really interesting.
Yeah, there's one in particular. I can't remember what the account is, but they do it quite regularly. And Nat thinks I'm mental because he loves the human one, you know, the ASMR where they're like making sandwiches, which I don't get at all. But yeah, give me a dog crunching a biscuit. I'll enjoy that.
Wait a second. A dog making sandwiches? No,
those are the human ones.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm not. See, everything's about the pets. Everything's about dogs. But no, I think what I noticed, I mean, we know each other a while back. You know, I'm a doga teacher and doga is a big thing for me. And I actually take it quite serious. What I do, yoga for you and your dog is real for me. You know, it's not a thing. It's not an Instagram thing. Highlighting how, you know, do you understand what I mean? And when I was working a couple of times with influencers or met influencers by chance and things, I found it sad in a way because they would come, they've been invited to an event by the company that was hosting the doga event. And some of them just really came with their dog because they knew they were going to get a freebie. A bottle of champagne at the end and I don't know, doggy biscuits and treats and things, but I felt like they weren't in it for themselves. What I mean is the doga, it really is yoga for you and your dog, and explained it, you know, for you and your dog and your relationship. And sometimes I felt they came in and they couldn't give two F's about the class or whether their dog even enjoyed the class, and instead they had their Instagram a person next to them, they're film, you know, a bit like Nat, you know, someone with a camera, holding up the camera and taking poses during the class. And I was saying to them, guys, I'm sorry, can you please put your phone down during the session? Like, can we actually do this yoga class? Like, genuinely do this, because this has a lot of benefit for you and your dog. And then you can talk about it later on. But they just wouldn't get it. They just were obsessed in taking pictures of their dog. And sometimes I just thought, you know, a kind of animal cruelty to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you are using your dog as a frontline thing to hide behind something. You're not doing this genuinely for the dog together. You know,
I get what you mean. Yeah.
Like a momager, you know, like Kim Kardashian's, the momager behind, you know, it's like, how far can you push something?
Yeah, this is what I always say to Nat and to other people, you know, it's got to be about what your dog's happy with. It's got to be fun and enjoyable for the dog. There's no point going to an event like yours or anything else if the dog's not going to enjoy it. I always make sure that wherever I take the dogs that they make the most of it. I'm not going to spend an hour going to a class and take photos the whole time. I want to enjoy it for what it is and write about it for what it is. And I'll take one photo, use that, and then enjoy it. And there are lots of influencers who do that, who will make sure they absolutely adore their dogs. But then you're right, there are lots of people who are just using them as an accessory. And fortunately, I don't follow any of them, so I haven't seen that.
I also wonder, often with the influencers, you don't see their faces ever. And it's disturbing. It's disturbing because I always say, is this person hiding behind the dog? You know, and what is going on for them that their dog has become bigger than themselves? You know, I just, why can't they just post somewhere, you know, one picture where they're just holding their dog and just it's them, you know, it's just a normal relationship. It's,
yeah, you know. I've been making more of an effort to post up pictures of me with the dogs because I realized that I barely did it. And so I've been making more of an effort and people seem to like it. So
absolutely.
I'm like, oh, you like me as much as the dogs do you?
Absolutely.
Although they seem to receive Nat even more. It's like, because he's a man, I don't know. I don't know if that...
A very handsome man. May I ask, are you married now? Or are you married? Or you will get married?
No, yes. We got engaged in September.
Oh, congratulations.
So we're getting married next September. Yeah.
Oh, what? Yes, you sort of chose a really bad year to get,
yeah.
to get married. But can I ask, so we're almost running out of time, but I now just coming back to the dogs, obviously Paisley,
yeah,
and Wilbur, they are your babies.
Yeah.
Which one is your favorite?
I've always had this thing about favorites. I can't say one is my favorite, but I do have a very, very special bond with Paisley. Yes. She just like Nat always says, she's like a dog version of me. She's just
she is loves, that a compliment?
I don't know. I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, all right.
She just absolutely loves cuddles and attention, and she's so sweet. You've met her. She's a bit nervous with people she doesn't know and yes. dogs she doesn't know, but she's, once you get to know her and you're like in her circle, she's like the absolute sweetest dog you could ever meet. She's obsessed with balls though. I didn't tell you this actually, but Nat broke his toe kicking the ball for her. And he still doesn't mind. He's still kicking the ball for her, even though he's got a broken toe.
So, oh, no.
But he's all right. It's only a little toe and he's recovering. Yeah.
I thought we need all our toes to walk. Can he walk properly?
Yeah, he was limping to begin with, but he's fine now. It's just a bit bruised. But yeah. But Wilbur is absolutely lovely. He's like, he's super friendly with everyone he meets and super friendly with other dogs. He loves everyone and everything. So they both have their special points.
And when I met you in the park, you were a little nervous about letting them off the lead. And what was that about exactly? You told them to keep him on the lead, keep him on the lead. But what was all that about?
Wilbur used to be absolutely awful off the lead. He would literally, you could get anything out. We used to take around little pots of cooked chicken because that was literally the only treat he'd respond to when he was off the lead. And he gives me a heart attack half the time because he disappeared once. This was back when he was younger. We were on holiday. Oh no, we went on holiday. Went for a day trip to Norfolk, and with someone else with a dog, and they were like, let him off the lead, it'll be fine. I was like, okay. And then he saw some other dogs, went running around the corner behind the beach huts. I was literally screaming at the top of my lungs for him to come back, and he wasn't coming back. It felt like the longest 5 minutes ever. And eventually he came back, but I genuinely thought we'd lost him then. But now with age, he's a lot more responsive. So we let him off most places now. He's fine. Paisley would just walk by your feet. Half the time I don't realise she's there, like almost trip over her because she's so close to me. Yeah, it's nice, you know, having that one dog who just stays there. You know she's not going to go anywhere. She's just right there. Total polar opposite to Wilbur.
And when Paisley came into Wilbur's life, how was Wilbur with Paisley?
At first, he was a little unsure of her. He's always absolutely loved dogs, so we knew he'd be happy with another dog, that we weren't worried about jealousy or anything like that. But because she was so small, he was like, what's this? And she was running around nipping his back legs and things, and he was a bit scared of her. But then she kept trying to snuggle him all the time as well, and he kept jumping away from her. But after a couple of days, he was like, oh, she's all right, actually. And now they're best friends. They can't be without each other. They get on so well. They get on like a house on fire, really.
Is there a jealousy with Nat, you, the dogs? What's the dynamic? Is there a special dynamic flow in the family?
Since we moved into this house and I'm on my own in the day working, I've noticed they are very protective of me from noises outside. So if Nat's here in the day, they're absolutely quiet as mice. They're absolutely quiet as mice. But if I'm on my own, they're watching the door all the time, checking to see if everything's okay. So I'm quite clearly the weak one. And in terms of jealousy, they're not really jealous of each other. They don't they they're protective of me. So if that's like play fighting with me or something like that, they don't like that. they're quite protective. But it's all right if I play fight with him. They don't mind that. It's okay for me to me to smack him, but not the other way around. I'm joking, of course. We're just play fighting.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but they, they don't really get jealous of each other. So that's quite good because that can be quite a worry with two dogs sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, it's Ben Bidwell here, otherwise known as The Naked Professor. I'm popping up to say the brand new series of The Naked Professor's podcast is now live. We're all about having deep and vulnerable discussions about what's really going on and how people are really feeling and dealing with the challenges in their lives. Each episode features a roundtable of incredible guests. You can expect to hear things like this.
You know, the father I was a year ago is different to the father I am now.
Past months have been more up and down than I've ever experienced. My stress levels have been elevated since the show came out.
I've been working really hard to try and hold the good and the bad in my life at the moment.
These conversations are more important now than ever before. So if you want to tune in, and subscribe to the Naked Professors podcast wherever you found this one.
Yes, absolutely. You talked about anxiety a little bit, and I just wanted to touch on that because I suffer from anxiety disorder, and I was just wondering, do you think, because you have been quite anxious over the dogs and things over the years, you've mentioned to me that is a thing for you as well. That maybe, do you think the dogs, especially in this scenario now with the house, that you, because you're anxious, they're anxious at protecting you because you're anxious.
Definitely.
Do you think there is a relationship there? Yeah.
Yeah.
A sort of projection.
Yeah. Dogs definitely pick up on your feelings, your mood. If you're happy, if you're sad, they know, they pick up on it. And they definitely pick up on anxiety. I think that is one of the reasons why Paisley's more anxious than Wilbur, because I suffered quite bad with anxiety a few years ago, and that was around the time we got Paisley. So I have a loss of hearing in one ear, and that makes me quite jumpy. And whenever just someone appears around a corner that I'm not expecting, they make me jump, and then Paisley starts barking at them. And I'm just like, oh God. But they definitely pick up on it, and which could not necessarily be a good thing in some respects. In other respects, it can be, depending on how you are. But I notice they're a lot more chilled out when Nat's walking them than when I'm walking them. So
absolutely. Well, how did the loss of hearing happen? Just all of a sudden, you?
No, I was born with it.
Right.
I think it's an odd shaped eardrum or something, but it's just in one ear, so I can hear out the other, but it's not, you know, perfect.
So you must relate a lot to dogs, and specifically because. With the dogs, it's not the hearing, but I think the nose is the most important thing. And then and the ears and the eyes are like third in line or something like that, you know, and touch. So smell and hearing are the two most important things.
Yeah.
In dog. I don't know. I'm just putting a relationship there. It's maybe you can understand dogs better. I don't know. Because of this thing.
Yeah, their smell is forgotten how much more sensitive it is than ours, but it's way up there, isn't it? They can smell from miles away things. I know Paisley can smell squirrels when she can't see them, but she knows they're there. She's got that squirrel face on. And yeah, it's amazing, their sense of smell. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I kind of they are my ears, because they listen to everything. I just use them as my hearing. That's always going, oh, you know, should go and get your ear checked out. And I'm like, well, I don't need to. I've got them too.
You really do. I'm so impressed about this thing. I actually didn't know that. You never mentioned it before. And I wish I had another hour to talk to you about exactly that, because it's fascinating to see how our dogs can help us with the hearing.
Yeah.
And how we rely on them and the relationship that it forms when your dogs actually become, in a way, a tool, to get you through the day, you know, get you through your daily life. Catherine, I would love to have you again on the show, and we can make a part two and then a part three and part four, five, six, and then seven, because I know we can talk forever. Just very quickly, we're going to move on to a dog exercise, but I wanted to ask one more thing, very important. How do you see your future with the Daily Star? What would you like to achieve?
Well, it's come a long way in a short amount of time. I've gone from just writing a weekly column to doing regular spreads and features and pull out. So I'm hoping that it's going to continue that way, and more spreads, more pull outs. And the editor absolutely loves animals, as I said. So it's absolutely loads of fun working with him. I met him actually in, because I work from home, so I hadn't met him prior to this. I met him in March, literally, I think it was the week before lockdown was announced. So I went up there, and London was absolutely dead. It was mad. But we just chatted about dogs for about half an hour. It was quite nice. So yeah, I love working for him. So hopefully that will continue.
And what if another paper wants you? What are you going to do then?
I'll just see where my priorities lie.
Yeah.
I'm open to writing for other papers, but I'll always have a special place with the Daily Star. Because without them, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important to honor that 100%. Yeah. You know, this is not about, this is about our dogs. Ambition is a second thing, but this is basically what we probably wanted to cover today, in a way, you know, does your ambition come first and then the dog, or does the dog come first and then your ambition? You know what I mean? It's a lot when you start making money in the pet world from it, you know, it's a whole other chapter, but
yeah, definitely.
Getting that balance, isn't it? And
yeah,
in the word balance, we can find the word doga. So Catherine, are you ready? Is Nat ready? Do you have your dogs there?
I will get them out now. Prepare for lots of noise.
No, I want to hear the noise. I want to hear the noise. I want to hear the noise. To end the podcast, it's time to take a moment aside with your dog for some guided doga. Robbie and I will guide you each step of the way. And this week's move is the paw-to-paw massage. It's an acupressure massage on dogs, which soothes stress and anxiety in human and hound. Isn't that what we need, Catherine? So
definitely. Sorry, I'm just being mauled with kisses now.
Good. Have some kisses, and when the music starts, I'm gonna start. Oh wait, no, that's brilliant. Let's get the Robbie, can you bark as well, please?
That's Paisley.
Paisley. Are you ready for yoga? Oh, here we go. Right, so just sit down wherever you are right now in this present moment. If it's in a chair, it's a chair. If it's on the floor, it's on the floor. Wherever you are right now, just sit quietly. Now, you can even do this lying down, depending on your dog. If your dog is close by, and if you can, place your dog on your lap, or if they're next to you, just start placing your hand, your dog. And we're just going to do a little bit of breathing first. So I did this last week. Place, if you have a chance, to place one palm on your heart and just between the breastbone, just on the breastbone. And deeply exhale with a sigh. And then maybe keep your mouth open and take a deep, sharp inhalation through open mouth. And then sigh. And again, inhale. And exhale. Wonderful, Kathy. Wonderful breathing. One more, inhale. And exhale. And now as you're doing this, just feel your heart rate. You might find your heart is quite, you know, just beating quite fast or slow. Just continue a few more breaths. It's fun if they're growling. It's fine if they're interacting through your breathing. It's actually good when they are attracted to your breathing. So again, taking a deep breath, feel your heartbeat. And exhale. Are they licking your face right now? That's so normal. That's so normal. They love it. They love when the air comes out of the mouth. Let's do this one more time. I love. Just relax the breath. Relax your shoulders one more time. Inhale. Exhale. Good. So the next step is to release the palms down. And if you can, just place both hands behind your dog's ears or one hand behind both ears. And now just breathe through your nose, long, deep breathing through the nostrils with closed lips. Inhale. Again, exhale, long, deep breaths. Exhale, and again, inhale. And exhale. And as you're breathing, just relax into your body and gently massage the backs of the ears of your dog with your thumb and index finger right into the backs of the ears to relax them using your breathing. Just be very conscious of the present moment. This is a moment to check in with your feelings. How much tension? How much maybe anxiety we're holding on to, or excitement? It doesn't matter. Anxiety and excitement is exactly the same pulse for the dog. So the dog doesn't differentiate when we feel stress, anxiety, or joy. It's the same thing. So just breathing, finding that rhythm, letting those feelings drop in the pit of the belly, trying not to hold into the shoulders, just allowing the shoulders to drop. And if we can still continue with the music, we're going into the second part. Deep breathing. Good. And now, if you get a chance, I don't have much space here on the sofa, but I'm going to turn Robbie. I'm going to just grab Robbie's palm, one of his palms, or both palms. So you can multitask here and just breathe and start just kneading his paws, just a little, you know, his finger, just very gently. And it's also the one that they like. So just be careful if they pull away. It might not be the right paw. It can be the hind paws, the back paws, or the front paws, whatever you think is good. And as you're breathing, you gently just circle the paw, the padding of the paw with your thumb around the garden. Just circular motions. Imagine somebody would do this to you. It's actually really nice if you have a partner, because they could rub your palms and you could rub the dog's paws at the same time. It's really quite a sensation. Partner work. Just finding that. Good. So now you're just going to look for the biggest padding of your dog's paw, the big part, you know, the I call this the heart chakra. That they have their chakras there too. So with the thumb, you're just going to press on their padding. Just gently press in. Inhale the breath, hold the breath, press their paws. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale, release the breath and release the paw. And then again, inhale. Hold the breath and squeeze their paw, the padding. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And release the paw. Exhale. And now you can move into some other paws and do the same thing again. Maybe spread the little paws and go into the little finger, second paw, third padding. Slowly inhale. Hold and press. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And release the paw. Very nice. Sorry. It's fine. One more inhale, and now press the thumbs and the fingers into all their little paddings. Hold the breath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale, release. And now just circle the paws. Really go into those little paddings with your thumb and just breathe through the nose. Just massage with the thumbs. Just start feeling that synchronization. And you can really find the right paw. You can even go all the way down to the bottom of their padding. There's so many sensories there. It's the same as the human hand. And you'll find your way through the breath and through the massage. You'll find a sort of your own way of tuning in with yourself, your intuition, and your dog. And that tiny bit of massage, you can do it on each paw before you go to sleep. Through the breathing, and it really, I don't know if you can feel, but your heart rate calm settles. Can you feel that? It's just a settling. So let's take one big deep breath, and we're going to chant Om for Paisley. Take a deep breath, inhale. And one more inhale. Exhale. and release. How did that feel, Kathy? How was that?
It was great, apart from Paisley barking. She was very interested, and then she got distracted and decided to steal the shopping bag out of my handbag.
And how is Wilbur? Did Wilbur get any paw massage?
Yeah, he did. He was the better one that time. Hayes is too hyperactive.
And who was giving the massage? Was it Nat?
No, it's me.
Oh, you multitask.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Well, Kathy, you know, I really, really hope to see you in one of our Doga classes again. We are going live again from the Whiskies Grooming with Lena, who we will hear her interview as well. She's got a beautiful space with candles and everything. I mean, no fake candles. We don't want to burn anybody's tail or anything like that. But it's a proper little studio for six people with social distancing. So
that's nice.
I really want to invite you to a class as well when you can come to London and take it from there, because I think you would really get a lot of benefit from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I remember last time.
Yeah, I remember Paisley absolutely loved it last time.
It was amazing.
Really did a short one, didn't we? But I remember Paisley was so chilled out, and you got on really well with her as well.
But what was amazing is you completely did what I say, and you were so focused on me. Yeah. And I thought that is step one with every owner, is that the owner just needs to trust the instructor that it's going to be okay.
Definitely.
And just trust that it's a process.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're amazing, Kathy. I can only say thank you for so much and your time and your space that you've given us. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes,
I really
and I'm so
it.
Happy. And I hope you will be part of our Conversations with My Dog journey. And
yeah,
I just want to say thank you for always supporting Doga at all times. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And I say a big farewell and a big namapaw to Nat, Wilbur, and Paisley. Oh, sorry, I clapped to you. You probably did. Bye bye, Paisley. Bye bye, Paisley. Oh, thank you, namapaw, Catherine Wooding.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with My Dog. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people and dogs. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Namapaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.